But I can, in the meantime, I can give you my sermon title, and that is that the gospel is for everyone. Is to everyone. You know, there is a lot of there are a lot of things that people believe that that God didn't actually say. There's a lot of people that are claiming to know things and to say things. So I guess I'm gonna have to just go with the Bible. Let me see. Okay, so we want to go to the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read the first through the third verse to begin with. Oh, first of all, let us pray. Lord, we can't do nothing without you, Lord. So we ask you, first of all, Lord, just to preach to me and then preach through me, Lord. Let your word go forth and not return void, Lord. We believe that you can do anything but fail. And so, Lord, we're just asking for your presence to fall fresh on us this morning as we search out your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the sermon is the gospel is for everyone. And one of the things I'd like to say that there is so much going on in the world, and there are so many that claim that they have the truth and that they know the truth, there's so many people quoting the Bible that ain't never read the Bible. So we want to see what the Bible says about it, right? So we want to follow the word. We don't want to just take anybody's word for what's going on.
Yes, sir.
The 11th chapter, the first through the third verse reads, "Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And then Peter came up to Jerusalem. Those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went in to the circumcised men and ate with them.'" First of all, we want to just talk about Peter sitting down and eating with the circumcised men. And so, first of all, we have to know that when it comes to the circumcision, they're talking about the Jewish religion. You may be seated at this time. They're talking about the Jewish people because part of being a Jew was being circumcised. And here they say that to Peter that he had went in and he had sat down with the uncircumcised and they, I don't know what the word would be, but they challenged him saying, you sat down and ate with them. Because it was not proper for a Jewish boy to sit down with non-Jews and eat with them, the Gentiles. You know, we know from the book of Leviticus that there were a lot of dietary laws that the Jews, strict dietary laws that the Jews had to follow. Yes, sir. And so here the Jews are, the Apostle Peter is in the city of Joppa, where he was sent to witness to this new converts that were Gentiles. And the Jews were interested in finding if this was real, that the Gentiles had the Holy Spirit had filled among them, and that these Gentiles were being converted into believers in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Peter went up. The Lord had directed Peter to go to Joppa. And so as he had went to Joppa, they were in a place where they didn't have food that was prepared for Jewish people, but they had food in this area that was prepared by the Gentiles, for the Gentiles. And so now the apostles are confronted with a situation where if they don't want to starve to death, they're going to have to sit down and eat with the Gentiles.
That's right.
One of the things that had happened with Peter was, and I'm going to read it right now, the fourth verse through the 10th verse. You could actually read this in chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
But the Lord had gave Peter a message.
That's right.
Verse 4 says, "But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And I heard the voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, not so, Lord.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing uncommon or unclean has any time entered my mouth.' And the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.
That's right.
Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And so what I want you to understand is that, first of all, this is about a lot more than food.
That's right.
This is about a lot more than what we eat and what we drink.
Yes, sir.
And when I read this, I was beginning, the Lord began to minister to me, the word began to minister to me, that this is about a lot more than just eating and drinking.
That's right.
And one of the things that I see here is that the word is going out to all the ends of the world.
That's right.
And it's going out to the Gentile nations, and the apostles are being sent out or called to minister to the new converts and to verify what's going on with the Gentiles. And so the Lord is removing the obstacles that interfere with the Jews and the Gentiles being one church and being one body and being as one. And so the Lord is removing these obstacles out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's letting them know that what I say is clean.
That's right.
Do not call common.
That's right. Amen.
So Peter said, "No, Lord, I can't you know, I'm a good Jewish boy. I don't eat these things. And the Lord said, if I call it clean, then it's clean.
That's it.
You know, one of the things we have to understand about these dietary restrictions that the Jews had, it was for the Jews. Now that the gospel is being opened up to everybody, now it's they have to open up and be able to meet everybody where they're at.
Right where they're at. Yes, sir.
And so he's removing the obstacles out of the way. You know, as I listened to this, I thought about, because I've had different friends that have different beliefs and believe different things, and some are even Christians, and they have these things like, you know, I know you're not going to eat that bacon, you know. And one day I was at work, and my lunch came, and I went across the street to In-N-Out Burger, and I was sitting on the fence across from In-N-Out Burger with my burger and fries and my soda, and I was sitting there getting ready to eat my hamburger, and a Hare Krishna came by and says, I know you're not going to eat that cow, right? And so it's the same today. We have people that have these restrictions about food and what you eat. And then we also have these other restrictions that people have concerning race. Jesus came. The gospel is for everybody.
It's for everybody.
Jesus came and he died for everyone. And if you are not saved, it's because you rejected Christ. It's not because he rejected you. But not only God have the gospel for everyone, but he removed the restrictions that would stop people from being able to receive the gospel.
Good news. Yes, sir.
What you eat is not going to stop you from being saved.
Hey, come on.
Jesus himself said, it's not what goes into the man that defiles me, but what comes out of him.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand, we have to stop letting people put all these restrictions on us. You know, there are people that believe that you have to be a Jew to be saved. There are people that believe that they're the Jews, and the other Jews are a synagogue of Satan's, those that call themselves Jews. And we want to understand that what it takes to be saved is Christ. In Christ alone. It's not Jesus Christ and the black Hebrews. It's not Jesus plus anything. But it's Christ and Christ alone. And we have to learn to put our faith in Christ. We have to learn to put our faith in the word that which God has given us. One of the things that I really want to drive home, if I can, this morning is that you can be saved just as you are. Who you are, what your race is, you don't need to change anything. You know, you just have to receive the gift that God has given us, salvation. You know, I grew up very independent. You know, I'm one of five brothers and a baby sister. And our parents didn't baby us. They didn't baby us. And so I came up very independent. And it was hard for me to understand. And I was also taught, don't nothing come for free. You know, if somebody give you something, they want something in return, you know. It was hard for many to accept that the gospel is free. It's freely given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish. And so you know, coming in a world where when it's free, it's usually a scam. Mm. It was hard for me to accept that it was free, yeah, and it was freely given.
Freely given, amen.
You know, I've come to understand that we have to give up some of our worldly, we have to forget some of the things that the world has taught us,
yeah,
and accept what God is saying to us.
Yes.
When when it says that we have to put our faith in Christ, in Christ alone, we have to put our faith in Christ, in Christ alone.
Yes.
He is the only one that can save us. And because it's free doesn't mean that it's not valuable.
Yes. Amen.
Not only is it valuable, but it's precious.
Yes.
And it's given to us freely. And it's free for us, but it costs God something.
Yes.
It cost him his only begotten son. And so when you could realize the high price that was paid by God for our salvation and that is given to us freely, the only thing we could call it is grace. It's God's unmerited favor. And so Peter is being given this vision, and he's given a testimony to the Jews, and he says, "And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered and said again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At the very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered a man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.'" And so the Lord has sent for Peter. An angel had came into this man's house. And so the Lord had sent for Peter to go into Caesarea so that he could preach the gospel to the Gentiles.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's important for us to understand that when we're talking to people, we need to be able to meet them where they're at.
Right where they're at. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, Paul was ministering, or he was training and teaching two of his disciples, and one was Titus, who was a Gentile, and one was Timothy, who was Jewish. He told Timothy to be circumcised, and he told Titus not to be circumcised. Why? Because Timothy, being Jewish, was to obey the Jewish traditions and to be able to meet with the Jewish people where they were at. And Titus, being a Gentile who was not Jewish by birth, did not need to be circumcised. And so he told him not to be circumcised. Because we're talking ministry here. We're talking about the people that you administered to be able to identify with them right where they're at. Circumcision is not going to save you. Uncircumcision is not going to save you. But Christ is who's going to save you. And that's the message. You know, I really want to try to be clear about this as I can, because there are so many people claiming to be sent from God or to be talking on behalf of God, even as far as politics go. Now, I just want to tell you this. I believe the separation of church and the state. And I believe it because we should not have politics in the middle of our worship hours. It should not be dominated by our worship hours. And what was being said in that context was, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and give unto the Lord what is the Lord. If we give to the Lord faithfully, and we tithe faithfully, we won't need outside money to sustain ourselves, to pay our preachers, to do whatever we need to do. We need to take care of the church. Because if the government do, the government's going to take over the church. And we will be standing here preaching. The person standing in the pulpit will be telling you this politician is sent by God, and that politician is not as the devil and all that stuff. And that's why we don't mix church and politics. We have to keep ourselves separate so that we can preach Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And that no politician could come into this church and tell us what we should believe. And so, but one of the things I wanted to tell you, though, with these different churches and the different beliefs going on, the witnesses, Hebrew Israelites, I just wanted to tell you this, that right here is just saying that God opened up the gospel to everyone. You don't need to change anything to receive the gospel that God has for you. I just read it a minute ago about being saved, about the Lord. And he will tell you, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. It won't be through titles. It won't be through acts that men have conjured up. It won't be through any of those things, but it will be through what God has provided for us. And he has removed all the obstacles out of the way. God himself, he says, what I have called cleansed, you must not call unclean. And so we need to understand it within ourselves is that, no, we are enough. We're not enough if we're going to save ourselves. We're not enough. We're not enough if it depends on us. We're not even enough if it depends on Christ and what we could come up with. We're still not enough. But in Christ, it's sufficient to meet all our needs. And I just want to share something. Before I was a regular member of church, and before I joined any church, I lost my brother, and it was devastating to me. As it is with all, we lose someone, it's very difficult to go through it. But since I've lost my aunt, people have called and asked me, what do you need? And it's like, I don't need anything right now. I would appreciate your prayers. Because Christ is sufficient for all my needs. God can care for you. God can protect you. I can tell you right now that God has protected me.
Yes, he has. Sorry,
thank you. And I don't want to go without saying that, because sometimes we fail to say that, I'm doing okay just because God is keeping me right now, And as I read through these scriptures, I know that my aunt is in a better place. I know that she's a child of God. Whosoever shall call upon his name. And, you know, I just want to say this one thing. You know, one of the things I thought about with my aunt, I said, as we went through this, she never complained. She just wasn't a complainer. And she even had a sense of humor. You know, one time I was visiting her, I said, you know who this is? And she said, no. And she caught me off guard because I believed her for a minute, you know. But you know, I just want you to know that she was good. You know, God got her, you know, and he got us, you know. And I say, you know, I say this to you, and I'm gonna have my seat that I believe that we lost our aunt, and that you all are part of our family. When I say that, we have lost Aunt Eva. We have all lost Aunt Eva. And we appreciate everything that everybody is doing. But I know that Jesus didn't die in vain. That he came on this earth and he fulfilled the law. He was the only one that could fulfill the law. And that he had to suffer as common men suffered. And he walked this earth for 32 years. And he was without sin. You know, the Bible says that they drug him from judgment hall to judgment hall. You know, I said he was without sin, but men examined him. It was Pilate examined him. And he said, I find no fault with this man. And he didn't want to be guilty of the blood of an innocent man. And so he told them, he says, his blood is on you, not on me. He said, what should I do with this man? And he said, away with him. He said, then his blood is on you. He said, let it be. So he was crucified. He carried his own cross down the road to a hill called Golgotha, where they nailed him in his hands and they nailed him in his feet and hung him between two thieves. And he gave up the ghost. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, men still don't know what they're doing. They still haven't become aware with all the evidence and everything that's been put before them. They still believe in foolishness, in money, in power, in wealth, and they refuse to see that Christ had came and died for the sins of all men. But the gospel is for everyone. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day he rose again. He rose again with all power in his hand. He rose with power to save the Jews. He rose with power to save the Gentiles. He rose with power to save the Greeks. The gospel is for everyone. We have to receive him. We have to believe him. And we have to trust him. I just want to say that God has come. Believe him, trust him, receive him. He's able to save you.
That's right.
Nobody else can save you but Christ. Amen.
Amen.